I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at this passage. So if you keep the Bible open in front of you, that'll be helpful too when it comes to our time to look at it. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word that speaks truth into our hearts and lives. And my prayer this morning is really simple, that you'd impress upon us just how important that truth is for us and how your word is the one true authority to speak into our lives and to bless us. Please impress that on us this morning so that we would leave this place this morning with a clear and keen sense of just how good you are to us and how right and true are your words and important for all of life. Please bless your people, and I give you thanks that they have gathered here this morning to worship you. All of this I pray in your name and for your glory. Amen. What made you choose to wear what you're wearing this morning? I already heard some reflections from the front about people wearing black shirts, and there was a root of bitterness that sprang up. And I thought to myself, too soon for the red jerseys. Too soon, too soon. All sorts of things go into decisions about what we wear, who we are going to be. What makes you decide to wear a certain type of clothing? Who tells you that it's cool to wear that? How do you react to different things in the community when you meet with your friends? What is it that drives you to be the person that you are? Who are the voices speaking into your life to tell you to be a certain way? All the time, we get voices on the TV, on the radio, telling us who we ought to be, what sort of things are important, and we absorb that. We look at shows on TV, we see what people wear, how they behave to each other, what the mannerisms are, and slowly we absorb a certain set of values and determine who we are going to be towards each other within ourselves, and we have to take a stop. Take a pause and think, why am I listening to these voices? What is it that drives me to be the person that I am? Why is that voice an authority in my life? Why is listening to the TV, seeing how people react to each other, the authority on my life or how I should speak and be with others? What gives that voice authority? Who am I going to be? Who am I going to listen to? And who am I going to absorb my sense of values, how I should be, who I am going to be? Who am I going to listen to for that truth? You see, what we're talking about here is about truth, isn't it? We sometimes sing a song in church. It goes like this. God has spoken by his prophets, spoken his unchanging word, each from age to age proclaiming God the one, the righteous Lord. God has spoken by his prophets his unchanging word. God speaks. He speaks truth. He speaks truths that people need to hear. So here is what Christians assert. God speaks truths that we need to hear, that we need to absorb, so that we reflect who he wants us to be. That truth has been revealed to us through his word, and that word is found in the Bible, but it's more personally and directly found in the person of Jesus. Jesus once said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he doesn't just deliver truth. It's not just that we need to hear truth that Jesus says. It's more personal than that. We need to know Jesus, who is the truth. So there is something very important about knowing Jesus that arises from reading the Bible and hearing this sort of truth about what we should be listening to, who we should be listening to. In John chapter 1, we read about how Jesus is the Word that was in the beginning and which was with God and which was God. He is the one who brings the ultimate word on what truth is to us. Once again, He is that truth. There is something about knowing Jesus, not just hearing things that He says, but knowing Him, that is really important to this whole concept of truth and where we arrive at truth from, where we receive truth from. One way to think about that is that Jesus is the perfect prophet who brings the perfect message from God to us. A prophet is someone who delivers a word from God. And this isn't just dry and dusty stuff for us to know. Kids need to know this. Teenagers need to know this. Old people need to know this. Everyone needs to know this because this is the grit and the stuff of life that we need to absorb and have in our lives. It was the reformer John Calvin who wrote in his Institutes of the Christian Religion, they're that big, two volumes, and he wrote that Jesus was appointed to three roles in particular is what he identifies: prophet, priest, and king. We're on a series over the holidays to look at Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. We're starting on Jesus as a prophet. You can go to the Heidelberg Confession, which is just a whole bunch of question and answers that teaches you about Christian faith. And I don't expect you to sit there and read that whole answer, but I know that's going to be distracting, isn't it? And you're all going to do that anyway. But it asks you the question, why is He called Christ, that is anointed? Anointed just means you're designated to a certain role. And the Heidelberg Confession echoes what John Calvin says and says, well, He's anointed, He's appointed to these roles as prophet, priest, and king. That's the management summary of that paragraph down below. So we're looking at Jesus as prophet this week, and we're going to track through the other three over these 3 weeks. The context of the passage that we read this morning is after Peter heals a lame man. That's my picture of a lame man to put in mind the picture of the context that's happening. You might remember those words that Peter says, "Silver or gold have I none, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk." And of course that lame man stood up and he walked, and eventually he ends up jumping and walking and praising God in the temple court. So it's a speech that we're hearing in the aftermath of seeing something really dramatic and amazing happen. A man healed and standing up. Okay, so get that context in your head. This is what's happening. They've seen something amazing. They're responding to this whole thing. They're amazed, and they're kind of going to Peter and John, who's there, and sort of giving them all the glory, saying, "That's amazing. We want to know all about this." And so there's a danger that Peter and John will get all the glory for what's happened. So in his speech, which begins back in verse 12, Peter turns the attention away from himself and he points towards Jesus. And where he'll get to is speaking about Jesus as the great prophet, not just a prophet, the great prophet that was promised in the Old Testament, and to speak about what He brings to us as that prophet. Before they're ready to take this whole thing on board first, they need to understand who Jesus is in the storyline of the Bible. They need to know that it is Jesus who is the healer of the lame man, and He's the one who brings forgiveness and restoration. He tells them that they are guilty in the death of Jesus. That's a really big statement for them to hear. You're guilty in the death of Jesus. He tells them that they're complicit. But He also tells them that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then He tells them that it's by faith in Jesus that this lame man has been healed. It's like the gospel is being presented to them. Their guilt, the possibility of restoration, and how important faith in Jesus is. They're getting this whole gospel presentation put towards them before He ever starts speaking about Jesus as the great prophet. They need to get the big storyline in place. It's Jesus' place in redemption painted in really big, large brushstrokes. You know those people that do these great paintings on walls, and they just fill a whole wall, and you get like a whole storyline of something that's happening on the wall. It's like he's told the story of Jesus from the Bible with what he's just said. And he speaks in verse 18 saying, "This is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer." He's pointing to Jesus, to faith in Jesus, as what brings restoration. And the outward effect of hearing all of this, of knowing all of this, of knowing how important faith is, the thing that they need to respond then with is brought out. It's repentance. It's that turning right around from any other way of thinking about life and turning towards God. It's what the gospel calls for, this really important message in the Bible. When you hear that you're guilty, you need to turn around and turn towards God. And you hear that in verse 19. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." So Jesus, that last bit of speaking about the return of Jesus on the last day, Jesus, when you get to this point, you realize that Peter has taken on this massive sweep of redemption history. He's focused on Jesus at the center. He's pointed to the importance of the message leading towards repentance. And he's pointed also to the importance of faith in Jesus. Faith that brings forgiveness of sins, waiting for the return of Jesus. And it's here, at this point, after hearing all about the gospel, about hearing the need for repentance, that he speaks about Jesus as the great prophet. So you need to understand Jesus as a prophet, as the bringer of truth, but you need to understand him first in the storyline of the Bible. And that's what he's done here. Here is where Peter talks about Jesus as the great prophet that Moses promised. It's in verses 22 and 23 if you've got your Bibles open. "For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who doesn't listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.'" Now that's a quote from the Old Testament. It comes in Deuteronomy 18. It's Moses saying, there's someone who's going to be a greater prophet. You need to listen to this person. And Peter connects that person as being Jesus. It's a whole join the dots in the Bible. Here's this great promise in Deuteronomy, speaks of a great prophet, bigger than Moses. You've got to listen to him. That prophet is Jesus. And we know that. But if you're hearing that for the very first time, that's a really big statement. It's saying, Jesus, he really is that guy. That guy really is so super significant. Moses made a big deal of him, and it's Jesus. He's a super prophet whose words have special significance. And look at what happens when you don't listen to him in verse 23. "Anyone not listening to him is completely cut off from their people." So his words are powerful words. And not listening to him, turning away from his words, separates you from the community of God's people. That's a really terrifying statement, don't you think, that it's that important to listen to Jesus. And so here's a big part of the payload from this Bible passage. If we want to know truth, if we want to be informed by God's word about what is true and right, then we need to listen to God's person who delivers truth about what is right. And we've got to listen to Jesus. And Peter makes it explicitly clear in verse 24, the historical significance of Jesus. He says that all of the prophets have been leading up to this point. It's not some willy-nilly motion through the storyline of the Bible. This has been leading up to this point, that Jesus is the one that all of the prophets point towards. Remember that story, that song that we used to sing, that kids' song? All the Bible stories point to him. It's kind of like saying that here is all of these pathways to Jesus. It's been leading up to Jesus. That's what he's saying. He is super significant because all the prophets point towards him. And then he says, and you've got all the bits and bobs you need to know for knowing the significance of Jesus. He says, you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. See, what he's saying there is that you've got all the storylines, you've got all the promises, you've got everything you know about the covenant, you know everything that points towards Jesus. You need to see just how important Jesus is in the center of the Bible. And then he gets to verses 25 to 26. And this is the really good stuff in this message. This is the grace in the message. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. That's worth taking some time on. The thing is, we have the heritage of the Bible storyline in front of us. You've all heard stories from the Bible. You know about the covenants. You stand in the same place knowing how all the Bible storylines point to Jesus. He is the real deal prophet that all of these storylines point to. And Jesus is Abraham's earthly offspring by earthly birth, which means he fulfills this promise of blessing to all the people. So here's the good stuff that's coming out, is that Peter's moving us towards the blessing in the gospel story that comes through Jesus. Peter says, God sent Jesus to you, very personally he says that, to you, to bless you. I wonder if you've reflected on that, on the mission of Jesus to bring blessing. Because that's what this passage says. In its first instant, Jesus' mission is to bless you. His intent is for your good. And what I want to say is that the focus of all of this is to say that Jesus is the truth that you need to live your life by and towards. You can trust him to have your best interests at heart, and he will bless you in ways that might surprise you. But remember, a blessing as God calls a blessing is sometimes nothing like what we think it is. You see, Jesus doesn't exist to affirm our lives in the ways that we would like. He's not here to rubber stamp our lives. But he is here to bless you. God's mission is, Jesus, is to bring change in your life where and how it's needed, and to turn you around from in places where you need to be changed. He seeks your holiness and to make you more like Jesus. I'm going to put up this passage from Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is where this is heading. He is transforming you to be more like the Lord Jesus. This is the blessing in this passage. Now, that might not sound cool. It might not sound exciting. But it's the most fulfilled living that you'll know as a human being. Because it's life lived as the Creator designed you to live life. And anything different to that sits in tension with the Creator's grand design. See, here's where I want to come back to the question at the beginning. Who's the authority in your life for who you are going to be? What gives them the authority to be the speaker of truth into your life? And what the Bible is saying is that Jesus has that authority to speak into your life. But you'll only ever think that if you've decided who the right voices to listen to are. See, this is a question that gets you to think about who you're going to listen to. That's what this is getting to. And this passage says, Jesus is the great prophet, the one who brings truth, who is truth, to us. God's authority is stamped all over him. All the Bible storylines point to him. So he's the one we should listen to. And when you look at your life and think about who it is that you listen to for how you're going to be, what you're going to wear, how you're going to interact with each other, the question is, who are you giving the authority to make those statements over your life? Jesus is the perfect prophet that we all need, to listen to absorb his truths, to know him, because he is the truth. Let me pray for you in that exercise. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be critically thinking about our lives so that we don't just absorb what our mates say about how we should live lives. I pray that we wouldn't just live cool lives because someone else says that who has really no authority to know what's the best for our lives. Help us to think about who we give the authority to for how we're going to be. And I pray that we would center our lives on the truth that is Jesus, so that we would live life for Jesus and more personally toward Jesus, absorbing our culture and all that we are from him as the great authority in our lives instead of anything else that really has no authority at all to say anything over us. And I pray that you would give us the fortitude and your spirit and all things that we need to live that out in all of life. I pray this for your glory. Amen.